Thank God. Well, we've been in a series that we called Not of This World, and yesterday we went in a bit of a different direction. It could be related, but it's not. We took a break from the series, and if you didn't get that message or weren't here, I encourage you, go listen to it. We talked about God with us, God being with us, and it was powerful. I believe it was timely. I just believe we needed to cover some of those things, so go listen to that. It will be a blessing to you. But let's turn over to John 15. We'll continue in this series today. It's John 15, verse 18. It's on your sheet, too. John 15, verse 18. Everybody there? It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Now, go down a few chapters to John 17, verse 9. So I pray for them. John 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now notice, Jesus said, I am no longer, in verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So he said, I'm not taking these out of the world. We're not going out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're here, but we're here temporarily, as is everybody. But like we've spent some time talking, if we're born again Christians, we're not of this world. We're going to just fly over some of the things. You know, these things build on one another. These things, we can't cover everything in one service, but the things we're going to cover today build on what we've already taught. Okay, so we're going to go over quickly, I believe, some of these things. I mean, if we need to pause on something, we will. But, you know, some of these things we've gone over, but it's so that we can build another layer. Okay? We go, generally, what we do is we'll teach to a certain degree, and then we'll go over that the next time, review some of the stuff we've done, go over it, and then go a little bit further so that it's solid. And over time, you get it solid in you. Have you noticed that? That over time, when you have the same thing week after week, but it's growing, that it gets solid in you to where it actually changes your life. Now, I've noticed that for me. I mean, you know, this thing isn't just about me telling you everything I know. When I'm speaking, I'm getting revelation a lot of the times. God helps. He puts these things together. I know generally where I want to go, but He puts it together. This is not an intellectual exercise. That's where it differs. If you're going to teach in the natural, you better know what you're teaching, and you better have an outline to some degree. It's different than preaching from the Word of God. The Word of God is limitless, and He puts things together that I couldn't do. That doesn't mean, you know, I don't use an outline. Some teachers do. I don't. I have the scriptures that you see is generally my outline. I know where I want to go, but how the scriptures go together, that's quickened by the Spirit of God to a degree. And after you teach certain things, you know, I'll have an outline where I believe I'm going to go, but I'll get into something, and this is where it's at. And if you try to override that, it gets dead. If God, because it's not me speaking, I'm the one speaking physically, but if I'm doing my job right, the Spirit of God, that's why we pray for utterance. That's not an exercise. You don't want to hear just me. You want to hear from Him. And so it's something as He's prompting, we're looking to the mighty Holy Spirit, the great teacher, to teach us. I'm supposed to hook up with Him and get across what He wants to speak to us this morning. It's not, well, here's what we have and it's ABC and that's it. It's alive. The Word of God is alive, and He knows exactly what we need. That doesn't mean we don't prepare. We prepare. But as we're going, He knows the best way things need to come out, and He knows exactly where He needs to take us, so we're at His disposal. And if He wants to emphasize something, that's what we need to emphasize any given time. So, but you know, you can see how things, we go over certain things, they'll get solid. They get strong in us so that it actually changes behavior. Sometimes you get a one-off, it gets in your head, but by Tuesday, Wednesday, it's kind of gone. You know, and if you go on to something next week, it's never really, it's knowledge, but it's not action. And that's when it's dangerous. People think, well, I heard that. But are you doing it? Somebody said it like this. You know, you only know the limit of your knowledge is what you do. Your knowledge is not what you've heard. True knowledge is applied knowledge. Everybody agree with that? Yes. You know, when I was, I'm telling on myself, this is sad to admit. But when I was 15, I think. Yeah, it must have been when I was 15 because I had a learner's permit to drive, you know? I don't know. You know, we could drive, we'd get a driver's license at 16. But I had a learner's permit. And then they had these, boy, I don't know what they have now, but I'm sure they have something much better than what we had. You know, they had this big room. I don't know, it was in like a portable, it was at the school, but it was in a portable, and I went to it was not at our school that we went to, but it was in the summer. You took summer driver's ed. Anybody else ever take driver's ed? And they go over some stuff, and they had these things where they had a screen up there, you know, of a film of a car going down the street. And then you had your little dashboard here. You had a steering wheel and you had, you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? You had the little steering wheel and you had a dashboard and you had your turn signal. And so you're looking. And so then they play in this film. I mean, this is the exercise. So they teach you stuff. They teach you about the laws and what you're supposed to do in different situations, and you study, and then you have this application here where you're driving, and so then you're driving down the road and there's a speed limit and they show how fast you're going, and then somebody will jump out in front of you and it's, what are you going to do? Or this is happening up here, what should you react? And then, you know, if you do the wrong thing, you got your little simulator here and you're doing the wrong thing, you get marked. Well, you didn't. Well, you know, you go through some of that, you learn something, but it's not the same as actually driving. Is it?
No.
So I remember telling my mom, it's just stupid, I shouldn't even say this, but I was like, you know, she was next to me, and you know, I'm 15 or something, and she's like, watch out for something. It's like, I know, you know, I've been doing the simulator. And so I've done some of these hours of this, and she's been driving at this point for I don't know how many years, you know, when she had me, I'm 15-year-old. My point is, you might know some stuff in our heads, but that's not the same as you've applied it, you know, and yes, you learn, like in the case of driving, you learn some things where it was brand new years ago. That's not the same as you driving day in and day out, year after year. There's stuff that's just normal for you, right? You're not consciously thinking about it. You're thinking. But you know, it's scary sometimes. I'm not advocating it. But have you ever driven for a while and then all of a sudden realized you're at this place or you're coming up and it's like the last 10 minutes you don't remember it very well?
Yes.
Probably everybody in here, and you're like, you made it and your brain is up functioning in it. You're driving because you've done it so many times. But your brain is sort of somewhere else, but you made it, thank God. But you've done all that. That's not the same as when you're gripping the wheel for the first time and everything's new and I push the gas and gosh, you know, not so many people have manual transmissions now. You know, but stick, if you're driving a stick shift, you know, you are completely engaged. You're right? You're not fading out. Because all your faculties are, this is the first time, and, you know, where's somebody going to come from, and you're driving? Well, after you've done it for a while, you can do some of this, and you're not thinking about it because you're experienced. That's true knowledge. That's applied knowledge. That's not the same as I heard it. I read the manual, so I know how to drive. No. That's not the same thing. I've done a few simulations, so I know. But this is what people do with Christianity. I heard a sermon. I read the book of James. I read Romans once. I've heard a faith message. Okay? So? Doesn't mean we're walking in it. Doesn't mean it's working for us. Doesn't mean it's actually that I have it solid. Does it?
No.
Well, I took a class in college, therefore I could do that. You know, I took physics in college, therefore, you know, I could rub shoulders with world-renowned physicists. Yeah, I could do whatever in the physics realm because I took a class. Tell you what, I took 3 semesters of physics as an engineer. I had to take 3 semesters. I'm telling you, by that third semester, I loved physics in high school. It was my favorite class. And we took it, you know, without calculus. It was just Newtonian physics and stuff. By the time we got to the third semester, the equations that are involved, and they're talking, you know, the relativity and all this stuff, it's like, good night. I don't even like it anymore because there's so much of this not even normal math. I mean, it's just all these convoluted equations, and it's like, that's not where I want to go. But if you're going to be in that field, you do that stuff all the time. It is like normal to you. That stuff starts whizzing by and you've done it. Just because I took some classes, I couldn't tell you most of those equations now. That's not my field. And I spent 3 semesters in that. Well, that's nothing. But people think I listened to 1 CD on something in the Christian circles, and I know it. And I've listened to all these things, so I know it. And if you tell me, I already know that. What are you doing? What are we doing? What are we doing with it? That's the key. And so we want application. I don't know why we're getting off on all this, but we are. Because we can always learn, and when we look back what we're doing, this is not to condemn us. This is just to say as a wake-up call, not faith is not knowledge. Faith is of the heart. What we do and how we act day to day, it shows what we believe. I don't care how many sermons we've heard in certain areas about faith, or about whatever subject in the Bible, We expose what we actually believe by what we do. Amen. Praise God. So these things, I said that. We are going through some of these things, and we'll fly over some of this, I believe. But we can't go back and teach it. To mean its fullest, you need to listen to the previous messages because these rest on that. And we can't reteach the whole thing every time. But some of it was set the stage, the parts that we need to, in order to get the full impact of where we're going. So verse 14, John 17, verse 14 says, I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So he said, Jesus said, I'm not praying that you should take, God the Father should take them out of the world. We're not going to get out of the world. We're here. But we're not of the world, but we are here. We're in it. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. You will say, what is truth? As if that's a deep question. Here you go. This is the answer. The word of God is truth. Anything that contradicts the word of God is false. The word is truth. People are so confused today. More than, I can't say ever, but people are confused. People are spread thin. People have so many different inputs. There's a lot of noise in the world. A lot more than there has been, you know, recently, I would say ever, because any one person is hearing so much more input than they ever have. There are so many more avenues, I should say. There's potential for people to hear so much more input, which can lead to confusion. Because this person's saying this, you read this article, this video is saying this, the news is saying this. What do I believe? It can be confusing. There's always something new. There's always a new methodology. You know, in business, this is the new way to do it. That's outmoded. Okay, I understand that, and we are developing in certain areas. But anything, the way you ferret out what is true and not true and going to stand and not stand is the word. Period. The word is truth. And we will come back to that. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them in the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now let's just look at your sheet. We're going to review a little bit here. Some people weren't with us, so just to set the platform a little bit. But Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things himself. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven, so from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:17 says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So he said throughout your time here, you conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear. That's in reverent fear, godly fear. 1 Peter 1:17 in the New Living Translation says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. So we are here, we're in the world, we're not of the world, but we're here temporarily. We've been redeemed It said in verse 19 there, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice in verse 18, go to the previous the verses in the New King James Version there. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Notice we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus from conducting ourselves the way our fathers, the way other people that we've inherited from, not saying that you didn't have a godly family, but he's talking specifically here, these people didn't. To a degree, you either had parents and a family that conducted themselves godly or you didn't, the more the better. But society as a whole, especially segments, has not. They've conducted themselves according to the ways of the world and not according to God's word. And so he's saying here, we've been redeemed from conducting ourselves the way the world conducts ourselves because you're not here as part of the world. You're in it, but we're not supposed to act like it. We're supposed to act differently. Galatians 1, I know I'm going fast. Go back and listen to the previous messages. This is review. Galatians 1, verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Notice he said he's not taking us out of the world. We're going to be here, but he delivered us from this evil age. He delivered us from the way the world conducts itself. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Okay? The whole world, it lies under the sway of the wicked one. This world that we live in is a fallen world. It lies under the sway of one called Satan. He is real. And he has influenced this world ever since Adam. And the world has gone in direction away from God. And so it is under the influence or the sway of the enemy. And so people have picked up things that are actually ungodly over time. The Bible calls Satan the god of his world. Now, you don't have these two scriptures on your sheet, I don't believe, but I'll just read them to you quickly. John 14:29, just make a note of it, says, and now I have told you before it comes, and when it comes to pass that you may believe, I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. The ruler of this world is coming. The Bible calls Satan the ruler of this world. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So it calls him the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, I believe you do have this one on your sheet. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe. The Bible calls Satan the god of this age. He's blinded. He's blinded those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, he, Jesus, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So these last few verses are telling us that Satan is the god of this world. He is the ruler of this age. The world lies under the sway, under his influence. He's blinded people who do not believe. The Bible says we should not behave. We've been redeemed from the basically worthless conduct of our fathers, of the people, of our families, of the society. that worthless conduct came because the world lies under the sway of the devil. So the world has moved along throughout the ages. And there's been this pull. Satan has corrupted what was beautiful and holy and good in the world through sin to such an extent that God destroyed the world that was through a flood. And the world was replenished through Noah and his offspring. But Satan has continued then to corrupt the world, corrupt men's actions. And so you had godly men and women that would follow the Lord's ways, and you had people that were deceived. See what would happen. See, you got it. It's so clear. You went to where you had Adam initially, but then things got so bad. The world was destroyed through a flood, and so you had Noah, and he had a godly family. Him, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. That's it. Every one of us has come from them. And that's clearly what the Bible teaches, regardless of what anything else says. You either believe the Bible or you don't. Jesus said it. The epistles say it. It's real. It's not just even something in the Old Covenant, Old Testament. Jesus mentions Noah. The epistles mentions Noah. So we believe it or we don't believe it. The Word is truth. What do we read? The Word is truth. So you go down, then you start out with a godly set of people. But Satan didn't go on vacation. He's right back at his ways. The Bible calls him a deceiver. So he got. You know, when you had this flood, this worldwide flood, and you had this huge ark, and the people that were part of that, that's very clear to them something was going on. All those years, you know what? God told Noah to build this thing. And he built it. Even though people, I'm sure, scorned him. He's building it for 100 years. What are you building it for? Well, God told me to build it. Eventually, there's a flood. Now everybody wants to get in. God had already shut the door. It's too late. God had the animals come. Well, how did the animals get there? The Bible clearly says. He brought them. He can do that. He created mankind. He shut the door. You have the people that, those eight that went through that, it's very clear to them. This happened. This is real. I was there. But just like you and me, you go on, people start living life, people start going about stuff. Satan, deceiver, he always was. People are dealing with life. It wasn't easy. We're under a curse, we're in a cursed world. So they're up against, you know, they're tasked with replenishing the world. They have to have food to eat. They're having, you know, they have hardships, things that come against them. Over time, they have children. You know, Noah lived to be 500 and something years old. Or, you know, in his sons. Lived to be a pretty good age. They had children and children. Well, Satan gets in there. See, the people that came after, they didn't see the flood. They didn't see the ark. You know, the ark ended up somewhere probably in the mountains. So what you're saying is all these people got wiped out. See, over time, that stuff starts to fade. They keep it alive, they say, but just like you and I, just like what we were talking about this morning. You know, our children didn't experience certain things. I wasn't around when certain things happened in World War II. I wasn't around for the bombing of Pearl Harbor. I just hear about it. But the people that were alive then, they remember, you know, there's very few people, getting to be fewer and fewer, that were alive. But they probably remember where they're at, just like September 11th is as clear to us, but our children don't know of that. They just read about it. And none of us were here for the Revolutionary War. Signing of the Declaration of Independence. We have historical documents, but you're not there, right? Well, it's the same thing. Society moves on. The devil hasn't taken a nap. He doesn't go away. He's very persistent. He's lying to people just like he does now. Over time, people, something doesn't go right in their life, or they bounce up against something. Where's God? This God that you've heard about, this God that your great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather Noah talks about, where is he? You've never seen this. This stuff that they talk about, how do you know that happened? What, an Adam, an Eve? What are you talking about? He lies, just like he did before to get the world where it was. People start believing other stuff. And so you had those eight, they start splintering. Every religion that you know on the face of the earth came from the offspring of those people. But they all started off godly. They all knew God. But over generations, stuff fades. Other beliefs get in there. People, false religions start popping up. Whole people groups start going a certain way. Every one of those started somewhere with a man, with a woman, somewhere believing a lie. And their offspring started believing that, to where you have thousands, millions of people. And this is the way we do stuff. Why? Because they got it from their daddy, who got it from their daddy, who got it from their daddy. But it came up somewhere, and somewhere above that, it was not like that. Clearly. But it diverged. And you have then the way the world, people think this is the way things have always been. Clearly, it has not. If you believe the Bible, it has not. All these things developed over time. And so you have the belief in the world, and it's very politically correct, and people, you know, will just nod their heads that, well, there's all kinds of religions and all kinds of belief systems, and, you know, people are doing their best to know God, and there's some people believe there's a God out there, some people believe there's no God, some people believe there might be a God, but, you know, he's just kind of just out there and doesn't really care about us. Some people believe, you know, there's a different way to God. But then some people will throw out, well, it just, you know, God knows our heart and it's okay to get to him anyway. It just, he knows. And it's just a matter of you having some kind of faith. And you see these bumper stickers, which are coexist, or, you know, just ignorance. Where do those stuff come from? There is a truth. There is a true God. And then there are a bunch of lies. And even what I'm saying now, people will say, well, everybody says that. But there is a truth. Everybody says they're the way. And the intellectual try to argue out of it, well, see, this is just the way religion is. And then you have people that are saying today, well, religion, all these bad things have come from people of faith, quote unquote, or religion over time. Zealots. And so they start to push. Religion is a man-made thing. Well, religion is a man-made thing. That's different than having faith in God. Well, it's just people have to believe something. But it's all the same tenets. It's just all different. It might be a little bit variation on a theme. But it's all kind of similar, and so, you know, some people, better to just put that, you know, we're beyond religion. Some people believe that. We've gone past it. We're too smart for that. We know that was ignorant people that came up with this, because they didn't understand some things. Okay. How does that jive with the Bible? Because this is where either we believe what the Bible says or not. Because nobody was there 4,000 years ago. I don't care what they say. 5,000, 6,000. Nobody was there. Nobody. Not one person has a video. There is nobody that has sight evidence of anything. So when you come down to what the Bible says, the Bible clearly teaches what we're talking about. And so all these things came from somewhere. And there is a truth. There is a God. There is one way to Him. And it is Jesus. And then there are a bunch of counterfeits. And how did those come to be? There is an enemy. And this is not a fairy tale. There is a reality. He was there then. He's there now. And it's distorted the truth. And so you have segments of society that have gone on just like they always have and passed down these traditions. And so you have people that are very confused. But it's not that confusing. Do you know, Satan loves confusion. He is the author of it. Think about your own life. People do really dumb stuff when they're confused. Think about your own life when you were confused or something happened in your life that upset the balance. You were disoriented. You didn't know the things you thought you could depend on, you can't depend on anymore. Satan thrives in that type of atmosphere. That's when people chuck certain things and start gravitating towards other things. That's when people, well, I don't know, where was God if God didn't stop this from happening? And mommy and daddy said that was God. I don't care what mommy and daddy said, that was all a lie. And that's when they switch. Satan loves that stuff. He's the author of it, to get people, well, what about this? What about this? Questioning. He hasn't changed. So how could people that saw so clearly God get off? Exactly this. Faith is tested. Not by God. I'm not saying God causes stuff. We live in a fallen world and stuff would happen and we either believe the word or we don't to get through it and to overcome it. But the enemy will tell you the same lies that he's told people since the beginning of humankind. Did God really say? Did he say that to Eve? He came and said, did God really tell you not to eat that? Is that what he really said? And that's what he'll tell you. You sure, God? Who says there's a God? Maybe it's just a bunch of hogwash. It's a fairy tale. It's ignorant people believing it. Well, what is that? Then people say, then you have segments of people that go off in that direction. But what we say, what does the Bible say that we'll cut through all this stuff? The Bible says His word is truth. How do you differentiate between the false and the true? The word. There is this being that defied God Almighty, decided to go up against the Almighty, thought he could win, took angels with him, which they were deceived, made a run at God Almighty, and was deceived enough to think he could win. He had a place with the Almighty. Yet something arose in him. He wanted to be, it wasn't good enough to be in that place. He wanted to be the one that was being worshipped. And that is the one that the Bible calls the ruler of this age, the God of this age. He wants to be worshipped. And he has any number of people, any number of types of religions that are worshipping him falsely, indirectly. Now, I'm quite aware that if you told that to people in their face, that makes them very angry. Why? I'm not suggesting you do that. But it's the truth. Many of these so-called gods of other so-called religions are nothing more than things that Satan has inspired to get men off. That's all they are. There are demons behind things. They're real. You got people that take it seriously. You got people that just like people in the U.S. People that they grew up with something and they don't really believe it one way or another. It's just what mommy and daddy. You have that in every other religion. It's not everybody takes it completely seriously, but then you have people that do, and there's serious stuff with it. But there is an enemy. And we're in this world. But we're not of it. We're in it, in the corruption that is in it, but we need to know where that corruption came from. We need to know why it's here. We need to have it very clear in our mind that things that have been taken for granted over time and may be held as common wisdom, if they contradict the Word of God, they're wrong, and we can know where they came from. And just because you hear it commonly stated, and just because people have been doing something for 800 years, doesn't make it right. And doesn't make it equal to the truth. Thank God for the Bible. That's why the Bible has been pushed, tried to stamp it. It's too late. I mean, there's so many translations of it. But when it was trying to get out, to have the Bible in the hands of the common person is a relatively new thing. It's only been for several hundred years. It was only in the hands of a few. So you're taking the word of certain people that were misunderstanding. Now everybody can look at the Word of God for themselves. You all, most of you probably have multiple copies of the Word, and you can get any number digitally. Go to free websites and look at any number of the translations anytime you want. It's unprecedented what we live in. So unprecedented access to the truth. Anybody can look at it and compare. When we talk about a revival, and I believe there is a last great day revival that's coming, and we're on the tip. That's when people look back to the Word of God and start worshiping God as truth again. You see these waves of revival, but it's coming to where people start looking back to the Word and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as truth. And people have been bombarded with so much falsehood and so much noise on all these different fronts, but people want something that is solid and true and not changing. There's always something that people say, this is the new way. This is the new way. This, and it changes so rapidly. And I'm not against progress when it's actual progress, but some of these things are actually going backwards. And how do you know? It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Thank God for His Word. Look at John 8:31. Just turn a few chapters back in your Bible if you're still there. Otherwise, it's on your sheet there. John 8:31. Glory to God. John 8:31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth. And what shall make you free? The truth. The truth will make you free. What did Jesus say back in John that we read? In John 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is truth. His word is truth. Not a truth, it is truth. Period. It will always be truth, always has been truth. The written word that we have has always existed. the words. The written word was written by men, listening to the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is the Word, and He has always been. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When they came up to take Jesus in the garden, said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Such and such," and He said, "I am," and they all fell down. He didn't say, "I was, I will be," He said, "I am." And there was enough power in Him saying that all those soldiers just completely fell down. They could not take Him. He laid His life down. Every time before that, they would go and try to push Him off a cliff, He would just walk right back through. They could not, they can't take the living God. Glory to God. He is our God. All these myths and stories, Superman, they are off. They're a type of what Jesus is. There is, we don't need a story, though. He is that. There is. It's not the other way around that that's just another story. That is the truth, and all these other things are variations or type variations on that. They're stories that got passed down that people make up, but there is a central truth. There is an Almighty. There is a God that came and walked this earth. They could not take Him until He laid Himself, His life down. He said, "I am." I mean, what it must have been like to see Him. The Bible said He wasn't much to look at, though. You wouldn't know it. We're much better positioned now than if you would have walked when He walked. You would have had to get to where He was. You'd have to recognize who He was. Here, we can believe the Word of God. John said in his gospel, he said, "I'm writing these words down so that those who read them can believe that these things are true." And we have a choice. But He was the truth, the Word, God Himself made flesh that walked on this earth. Why? To redeem mankind from the one that had taken it all away from Adam. He became the God of this world and had legal right because a man gave his dominion and bowed his knee to Satan. Satan had a legal right to lord it over mankind. And Jesus came as the truth and walked a sinless life to prove it could be done and took the keys of death and the grave back from Satan and said, "Anybody that believes on Me now is set free from Satan." So it is not a matter of God knows our heart and God just acknowledges all these religions and God is okay with it. He knows your heart, and there's so many ways to God. It's not about God. God's heart is for all people to be with Him. The Bible says He is willing that none should perish, but it is a legality. Satan had legal right to mankind because Adam bowed his knee. The only way for him to get to for God to redeem His people is for the blood of Jesus, one that had come sinless and spotless, to walk as a man and to do what Adam should have done. And when people believe, now He paid the price, when people believe on Him and believe in His sacrifice, the new man, and become a child of Almighty God through Jesus, they are free now from the bonds that Satan had. And so it is not a matter of God. God has already done what He's going to do. It is a legal matter that Jesus is the only way, the only one that would relinquish us from Satan's grasp, so that believing these other lies that Satan himself concocted only leads back to Him. And He knows it. And He has whole areas of the earth that are worshiping something that is false, and he put it in place. And they're calling on it, yet there's no power. Because Jesus is the only way out, and he knows it, and he'll propagate that and deceive as long as men will listen to him. But as the truth goes out, and this is why Christianity is singled out, because it is the only way. It's it. Satan doesn't care if people have faith in whatever, because they can't. None of these other faiths can release mankind. And so we need to know that we're here, that we're dealing with a bunch of lies, we're dealing with a bunch of untruths, we're dealing with people and people that for generations have gone down a path, and that as you go back and look at the Word of God and believe what the Word says and take the Bible at face value, the Bible says you shall know the truth. And we read this word is truth. The truth is what will make us free. Verse 36 says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the only way. His word, acting on his word, acting by his spirit, is the only way to walk free in this life. As a Christian, we've been set free. We are no longer under the dominion of Satan. But the way it becomes actuality in our life is by applying it and taking the word and making it active in our life. In other words, in the areas that you apply the word, those you will be free. Where we act the same way as everybody else acts, we will be in bondage. But the moment we choose to believe the word and act on the word in any area, we're free. And you can have areas, as a Christian, it is not automatic that because you've believed on Jesus, because you've been transferred into the family of God, and as you, even though you are technically a citizen of heaven and technically free from Satan's reign, when we do the same things that those that have been in bondage do, we're in bondage. Even though we're set free. So we're standing in prison. The door's been opened. And we're still standing there, even though it's been opened. Because as long as we let the customs of what we've heard dictate what we do, then we are allowing those lies that have been propagated down through mankind to affect our lives. It's when we say, the word says this, I will act on what the word says. At that moment, we become free. As we put that word into action, we become free in that area. It is possible, even though we're free, even though we're born again Christians, to be bound in one area and to be free in another. Freedom comes when we act on the word. That is when revival will come, generally, when people say the word is true. I believe the word. I'm tired of hearing what people are saying is truth when it contradicts the word. When people stand up and start to say what the word says, number one, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the one and only true God. When people act on that, that's the first step. They become born again. But as we step up and start believing his word, start acting on his word in these other areas, revival starts to come. We start to see that this is truth. The truth of God's word affects our families. It affects our health. It affects our relationships. It affects us on the job. It affects every area. It affects our finances. And we walk in the truth of his word here and now. In this world, even surrounded by all this junk, even surrounded by this the residue of the curse, we can walk in freedom. Amen. Thank the Lord. God is so good. He has freed us.